Welcome to episode 21 of the Star Trek Discovery Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
And we're back.
Yay! We're back, baby!
Yeah, we are back. And it's been a while, like, what, I think it was 3 months ago that we did the roundtable. So.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And I've been busy. You know, I've had moved to Tampa, as I mentioned in the last episode. I am now using a brand new computer.
Fancy.
Yeah, I found a great, or should I say a best buy at Best Buy.
That's funny.
It was a pre-Black Friday sale, and I went desktop instead of laptop, and mm-hmm. it is much, much, much faster. It's nice. Yeah, and I'm quite happy with it so far. So last, just inside baseball here, the last episode, the roundtable, we had some problems thanks to my laptop kind of like dying. So that has been taken care of, thankfully. And a lot has been going on in the Star Trek Discovery and, for that matter, general Star Trek world. But we're not going to talk about that at all. We're going to hold back all the news, all the stuff about the trailers, all the new series stuff. We're going to hold that back. And we're going to cover all of that in our Season 2 preview roundtable, which will come to you in January. But until then, we're a little behind. We got three short treks to cover, and then the fourth one's going to be in the early January. So we are going to do a couple of, well, I said not a couple, but three mini episodes to you to cover these short treks. So the very first one here is for the first short trek, which is titled Runaway. And that was written by Jenny Lumet, who I don't know if you ever heard of Sydney Lumet, famous writer. That's his daughter. And showrunner and co-creator, Alex Kurtzman. And it's directed by Maya Vervillo. And I've heard some people mispronounce that. But since I had a boss with the same name and the same spelling, it's obviously the same pronunciation. Maya, not Maja. That's how you say it. But it's got a J in it.
That's funny.
And a little description I'll give, since we don't have a lot of feedback, so these are going to be quick episodes. Following a discussion with her mother, Sylvia Tilly encounters a young Zahian stowaway named, oh boy, Mihani Ika Hali Kapo. I hope I got that right.
Sure, sounds good to me.
She helps return home in time for her coronation. Yeah, in other words, she's going to be queen.
I'm glad I did not read the description because I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, that was a nice little twist.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for people who did read that description. Kind of ruined it, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
Why do they ruin things? Why are they dumb?
I actually picked this from Wikipedia, so I don't know if they probably did give a description somewhere, but this is from Wikipedia, so it's probably not exactly what CBS wanted you to read. But anyway, so as far as ratings, what did you think of this first short track, Runaway?
I don't have a number, but I really liked it. I put down, as usual, Tilly was amazing. She should be the focus of all the Star Trek shorts.
I wouldn't completely object to that. and of course, I think she stole the show. I did give a rating. I gave it 8 released espressos. I release you.
That was funny.
So, we're going to give the feedback at the end, since we didn't get a lot of feedback for these shorts. And just so you know, listeners, we're recording the first 3 short treks in the same night, and then we'll release them to you separately. But anyway, so do you have anything in the yes column, or should I say?
Yes!
Not specifically. It was like a 15-minute thing, so
I know.
I didn't have enough time to come up with anything other than a general, you know, thought or dislike. It was kind of like there and then done, but yeah. I enjoyed it. I mean, there wasn't anything specific that really stood out. I mean, there wasn't any like 1 minute that was fantastic above the other 14. So, yeah. You know,
well, I singled out 2 things and they're both, with Mary Wiseman. And the first was Tilly's conversation with the food station. So saying that caffeine is her best friend, so shush. And in general, Mary Wiseman's performance. I have become such a fan of her over the course of this past season. And as we're recording this on the 18th, we are now finally less than 1 month from Discovery Season 2. So I am very, very excited for the new season. And I can't wait to see what she's going to do in Season 2. She is a bright star, a shining star, so to speak, in Star Trek right now, I think. All right. Well, as far as nose or...
No!
Do you have anything specific you want to say as far as nose?
Nope, not for this one.
Well, I do. I have to admit, although I did enjoy, I heard other people kind of say a similar thing. But when I first watched this, like, I think it took me a couple of viewings to grow on me. I mean, I certainly enjoyed the performance, as I mentioned, but I really found the character / Zahian species of Poe very contrived. It was kind of like a big catch-all, like definitely a diamond in the rough, but it was so in your face that it really kind of, I didn't like it. She comes on the scene, she's acting animal-like, and in her behavior, in her performance, the way she was sniffing sniffing like an animal would sniff, you know? And that, once the universal translator gets turned on, then she morphs into a lost teen who's lost her family. And then we find out that she's a fugitive. And, you know, that kind of explains her, like, cloaking, natural cloaking. We haven't seen that since the Jem'Hadar, I don't think. And then she's a brilliant engineer. And then she's the queen, who we find out that she's the queen just prior to the fact. And she's this brilliant engineer, yet she's sniffing the transporter console. So, like I said, at first, I really didn't care for this episode because looking at that on the surface, and I didn't have any problems with the performance of the character. And I liked the character, but it was just so strange, like this in your face, like on the nose. First, she's a savage, then she's a queen, you know? So that part I didn't care for, and it's why I only gave it an 8. Now, that was on first watch, but it on first watch, it was probably a 5, to be honest with you. But the more I watched it, the more I just dismissed that, and it didn't bother me as much. So, but yeah, so that's my take on it. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I mean, I noted that, but then I thought, well, just because humans don't have a very well-developed sense of smell doesn't mean that other, you know,
yeah,
species in the galaxy or universe or whatever, cosmos, can't have a well-developed sense of smell. And honestly, if I had a super well-developed sense of smell, I would utilize it. I mean, that's one of your... I am already a very tactile person. I like to touch things to experience them, to help me figure out what it is or what's going on or whatever, you know, to like if I'm trying to figure out if I want to buy something, I have a really hard time, unless I already know it's what I want. I have a hard time buying certain things, like online, for example, because I need to touch it, feel it,
yeah,
work with it, try it on or something in order to know if I want it, basically, or if it's something I'm interested in or whatever, mm-hmm, just to learn about things. And if I had that kind of a sense of a smell that would benefit me in such a way, then I would utilize that. So to me, I thought, well, you know, I mean, I initially had the same thought. I was like, this is kind of strange. But then I thought, well, I'm sure there are, if there were other species out there or whatever, I'm sure that they may have better olfactory glands than we do. So
yeah,
I didn't find that disturbing really at all. I kind of felt like the character sort of, she had her own little arc.
Oh, in, she did,
you know,
she definitely,
15 minutes.
Yeah,
so
she definitely did. And like I say, you know, after I rewatched it, it didn't bother me nearly as much. I didn't stay that annoyed with it. I think part of it was that it suffered a little bit, and I'd even say more than the other two short treks we've seen so far, in the time, like the amount of time that they had to develop it. It was kind of truncated, I think, you know, so it was that whole development of that character was kind of sped up, I think. And it reminded me, it was that TNG episode. Remember the Dauphin, I think it's called. It was the one where she's the queen and she falls in love with Wesley and they're shapeshifters. You remember that?
Bell right now.
Season 2. It's not a very good one. So anyway, it reminded me a little bit of that. But we've talked more about that point than anything. I mean, in the end, the strength of Tilly and her performance, and I don't have the actress's name in front of me, that played it, but I'll look it up before we conclude this. But I liked it more after.
I feel like in a lot of ways, it wasn't just, I mean, how we experienced that character is kind of the way that Tilly experienced her. Because in the beginning, initially, she seemed very animalistic to Tilly because she couldn't understand her.
Yeah.
She was foreign, you know, in every sense of the word.
Right.
And she didn't have a way to relate to her. And then they had their little bonding moment over ice cream. And the better that she came to understand her, the less that she seemed foreign and strange, mm-hmm, and alien, I guess, animalistic, you know, whatever.
Right.
Because, it initially started with the communication. And to me, I guess, I feel like this was another example of showing the similarities in the differences, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're super different, but at the same time, they're really the same.
Kind of.
And they have the same types of concerns, interests, goals, whatever.
Mm.
So,
yeah, I agree. And the actress's name is Yadira Guevara Prip.
Well, that is a mouthful.
It sure is. Okay, so
she did good, I thought, though.
Yeah, she did. She definitely did. Okay, so in the other podcast that I do, which Ruthie and I started, but she's not on it anymore. Gee, I wonder why. The Walking Dead Talk Through.
I am so impressed that you're still able to stick that out.
It's gotten better,
I'll say. If you say so.
I know. Anyway.
I've heard that it's still dropping fans like in droves. But anyway, let's not spend much time talking about that.
Well, in that, we did Awesome Sauce, and then later we added Weak Sauce as the show had a lot of points that we had issues with. And then we added a Sad Sauce and a What Sauce. Well, I'm not bringing in the sad sauce, but I do want an equivalent of What Sauce, and that's...
Hello, this is Captain Tilly. What the heck? Hell? What the hell? Hold your horses!
You knew it, Ruthie. I had to use that. I said, we need to have this every episode. So, what's the deal with Tilly's mom? Why'd they show her but not show her? Like, was it a casting thing? The character itself was played by Mimi Cusick, which I've definitely seen her. She's a Canadian actress, but I've seen her in a lot of American TV. Now, was that like a temporary casting or something? Like, are they expecting her to be played by someone else, and that's why they didn't show her face?
Maybe.
I thought that was really weird. Again, that was something that on first watch, I was like, what's the deal there? What's going on?
I don't know. I cannot give you the answer. Sorry.
All right. Well, now we're going to go into feedback, and we will open hailing frequencies. And we will start with a voicemail. We got a voicemail on a couple of these short treks from Steve Brown.
Hi, Brian and Ruthie. This is Steve, and just had a couple of quick thoughts on Runaway, the short trek. It's nice to know that they've kept the judgy food replicators for season two. That's always good for a little chuckle at times. And I loved when Tilly, when she hissed back at the alien, when she hissed at her. But that was really cool. Talk to you later.
That ended a little short for some reason, but...
I have to agree with the hissing. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that until you mentioned it. Like, I mean, that's what you have to do sometimes when you're dealing with an upset critter or creature or animal or whatever.
Yeah, stand up to them.
Yeah, you got to push back sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's nice that Tilly's not afraid to do that because she's the bomb.
She the bomb. All right, we've got one from...
She's thebomb.com. Oh, man.
We've got one from our friend, and he's been on a few of our roundtables, Mark Decote. Ruthie, you want to read that one?
Sure. It was great seeing Tilly again. I hope they make some callbacks to it in season two, even if it's just something like the huge mess in the dining hall. I agree. That would be awesome.
Yes, the hormonal space rabbit.
I know. That was hilarious. Oh, my gosh. She just comes up with this off the fly.
Yeah.
Off the top of her head. So cool. That Tilly.
We got a longer one from James Robbins, who's definitely a friend of the show. He said, sugar is awesome, and so is Tilly. There's really not too much to say on Runaway. It was cute, but there's not much substance they can really fit into 15 minutes. I really just took it as something to feed my Trek addiction and made me long for more. I hope they bring in a bit more on Sahia in the future. I really think they could get an episode on their culture. Poe and Tilly would totally steal the show. While there wasn't a lot of substance to the short itself, I think they developed an interesting dynamic with one another. I could see them being great frenemies.
I think they'd be friends, not frenemies.
Yeah, I'm surprised, James. Frenemies? Really?
Yeah, did you not see how the episode ended?
Yeah, then he
gave her a dilithium crystal.
Maybe he was being sarcastic there because he had a couple winking face with a tongue out times two. And then he says, I'm waiting for full episodes to really give ratings or yeses and nos. Just really not enough content in the shorts to really warrant them. Just my opinion on it. I had thought about it when making my initial post here, but nothing really came to me. And James, I don't think you have to apologize because that seems to be the kind of feedback that we've gotten from everybody. Even Ruthie had issues trying to come up with yeses and nos and ratings. So I'd say for the fourth one, when it comes out, just give us whatever feedback you have and, you know, don't worry about rating it if you can't come up with anything or yeses and nos. We'll just lump it all together like we're doing here. So, all right.
Yep.
You want to read Wes?
All right. Runaway gets an 8 out of 10. I said on a recent episode of my podcast, episode 30, that Runaway was going to be the funniest one because of Mary Wiseman, and it did not disappoint.
Yes, the Minnesota Star Trek Nerd Podcast. And Wes Huntington was one of the panelists in our last roundtable, and I can tell you that he definitely wants to be a panelist on every roundtable from now on because he loved it. And I got to say, Wes, I love your enthusiasm. I love it. So, you are welcome here whenever, you know, we can bring you on. So, yeah, we may even, you know, have you come on and guest host at some point, but not promising anything. Okay. So don't get too, you know, worked up, but we're definitely going to have you back for the roundtable and beyond that. So, but anyway, check out his podcast at the Minnesota Star Trek Nerd Podcast. And he does two episodes a week. So he's a madman in that way.
Kind of crazy.
I know. And you can get that anywhere where podcasts are found, just like you do with us. All right. Glynis Goltz is next. She says, it shows there's no difference between species. Same problem of not being listened to or heard. Tilly with her issues with her mother and the alien even becoming queen just wasn't understood. I wonder if the dilithium crystals, why can't I say that, given to Tilly, I cannot talk tonight. Given to Tilly is going to enable the growing of the much needed material to be able to warp at whim. And to that, and I heard some other podcasts talk about this, like the first time we see recrystallization of dilithium is in Star Trek IV. And like that's 30 years in the future. So what happens with what Poe has come up with? I'm wondering, like, does it not work or does she die before her invention really gets off the ground or, you know, what? But I'm curious about that. Or maybe she just keeps it with the Zahians and Starfleet doesn't have that technology until Scotty comes up with it. I don't know. All right.
Don't know either.
As far as other thoughts on this short trek, do you have anything?
No. I mean, I guess not. I enjoyed it the very first time I watched it, which was a few hours ago. I liked it.
Well, I had a
might have been predisposed to like it though.
Yeah.
Because of Tilly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wes, he said the similar kind of thing. I didn't mention this earlier, but I was on his podcast a couple of weeks ago talking about Star Trek Nemesis. So,
oh yeah?
Yeah.
I love Star Trek Nemesis. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I love it.
It has a lot good in it, like the battles especially, I think were really
and
good.
Tom Hardy.
Yes, Tom Hardy. A young Tom Hardy.
Yes. Like the first thing he was ever in. I don't know if that's true, but the first thing I ever saw him in. So.
Yes, before he was Venomous.
Yeah. Yeah, before he Inception stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, before he was, what's the character, well, obviously Max. Before he was Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Great
Mad
movie.
Mad Max.
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
All right. Well, I had 3 points to mention. One is this whole thing about being born with the planet. Now, I heard a lot of people react negatively or confused with this or saying that it was impossible. Now, my thought is that Poe means that the Zahian molecules were created at the same time as the planet. I think that's essentially true. Or she could just think of it in a religious construct. But, I mean, obviously, she wasn't born the time that the planet was created. That,
right,
that's crazy.
Because the planet's not 17 years old.
Right.
Because exactly. Obviously her parents and brother lived there before
her. And her parents aren't 17 years old either.
Right.
unless the Zahian method of procreating is quite
being
strange.
Born pregnant.
So if Tilly and Poe are like parallel characters, which I know Glynis mentioned, that makes it seem like Tilly has some greatness coming in her future. And I think that's a certainty. Question is, what greatness will she achieve?
Well, I don't know. But I mean, if we look at what she was doing in the Mirror Universe,
yep.
Seems likely.
She will be the famous Captain Killy. I mean, Tilly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing, this is a trivial point, but I heard other podcasts mention the whole thing about 5 shifts on Discovery. Now, I have a theory on that. It is not 5 shifts because that makes no sense. How do you divide 24 by 5 in a shift schedule? I don't think it works. However, 6 shifts work, so I'm guessing that it was the 5th of 6 shifts that were that was ending, not the final shift. Anyway,
that definitely makes more sense than trying to imagine that 5 was the end. Why would someone think that anyway?
Oh, because people are not thinking. I don't know. But
to horrible conclusions.
Yeah,
instead of using their brains.
Just because they didn't mention a 6th shift doesn't mean that
it
exists.
Didn't exist.
I would say that it has to be either 6 or 8. And to me, 8 shifts that's crazy talk. How would you that'd be too
get anything
confusing.
Done in 8 shifts? Yeah,
yeah. But 6 shifts makes a lot of sense in a way because that way. Every 4 hours, the team is kind of changing, and one, you know, half the team goes off and half the team goes on. So,
yeah.
You know, that makes a lot of sense, actually, especially on a starship where you see the officers moving around, being with, you know, together a lot. And, you know, other than if it's not 3 shifts or 4 shifts, I have to say it's got to be 6. Anyway,
that makes sense too. I mean, if you think about it, if you work for 4 hours and then say you've got like 8 hours off and then you work for another 4 hours, and then you've got 8 hours off.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, could be. All right, so that's it for this episode. So to submit your feedback and connect with us, there are many ways to do so. First of all, there's goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, and there you can submit text or audio. Use the SpeakPipe widget. Call 304-837-2278 and make sure that you mention that you're calling for the Star Trek Discovery podcast when you do that. The voicemails that we got from Steve today came through our Gmail, which is StarTrekGSM@gmail.com. You can also post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast. And our Twitter, which is at Star Trek GSM. And if you want to help support us, share, retweet when we post that we've got a new episode. And it's also worth saying that you can find us on TV Time, the TV Time app. So leave us feedback there as well, and we'll get back to you if you do that. But yeah, we are the exclusive Star Trek Discovery podcast for Star Trek Discovery. So, and another great way you can help support us, and I expect that as the season gets going, there's going to be a lot more people listening to various Star Trek Discovery podcasts. So help us out in the good old Apple Podcasts and stats and whatnot by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. And when you get there, you'll see all the other Golden Spiral Media podcasts. But whether you get through to that or you just find us in Apple Podcasts, make sure you subscribe using that or whatever podcast client that you use, like Pocket Cast. What do you use? Overcast? Is that what you use? Downcast?
Overcast.
Overcast. That's what I thought. So if your podcast client of choice has a rating system, I found out that there was one I didn't know about that allows you to rate, and that's and review. That's Podcast Republic, which I think is just Android, but Stitcher and, of course, Apple Podcasts.
Podcast Republic?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I haven't used it too much, but I did take a look at it once I discovered that it had reviews. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Anyway, you can help us out and get us a little more, you know, getting through the weeds of all the Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek podcasts by giving us a rating and or review. There are other ways to support the network that can be found at goldenspiralmedia.com/support. We don't have a Patreon. We've talked about doing it, but we just never got around to it. So who knows? Someday, maybe. Okay, so the next podcast that you're going to hear will be covering the second short trek, which is titled Calypso. That's a story by Sean Cochran and Michael Chabon. I think that's how you say his name. And he's an award-winning, Pulitzer Prize award-winning author. Teleplay by Michael Chabon, and he's also involved in the Picard series. And it's directed by Olatunde Osunzanmi. And I always have a hard time with his name.
I can't imagine why.
So we will be recording that next, and you won't be able to submit your feedback to that. But we will be recording at a later date the fourth short track, which is coming out on January 3rd. That's The Escape Artist. So when that comes out, you can submit feedback to that. So, and I already mentioned it, but I do another podcast. Used to do it with Ruthie till last year, but still doing it. The Walking Dead Talk Through. You can find me on there. Ruthie, I don't think you have anything to plug, but now's your chance.
I don't have anything else to plug right now. Got nothing else going on, and I kind of like it that way.
Yeah, I envy
at
you.
At least for right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Ruthie.
Peace and long life.
Live long and prosper.